Hello and welcome to this special mini episode of Superhero Ethics. Ashley and I have had a lot to say recently about thirst, I've had a lot to say about queer representation, and it turns out a lot of you fans have had a lot of feedback. So we're going to dive into that a little bit and kind of continue that conversation right after this commercial break we have no control over. Welcome back, I'm Matthew, your host. I have Ashley Coffin with me. Ashley, I have to say, I'm so glad we could find time for this because, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we got our first email about the Thirst cast that we had done, and it, you know, kind of raised some eyebrows. We thought, okay, let's have you on for like 10 minutes at the beginning or end of an episode. The idea that you and I could talk for 10 minutes about anything is obviously complete nonsense.
Impossible.
But we were like, let's at least squeeze it in somewhere. And then, you know, the last couple of days, there's just been so much more that I think this was a really great chance to kind of dive into, like, why is it that when we talk about thirst, when we talk about sexuality, when we talk about queerness, it gets a lot of people pretty heated. And I mean, a lot of people also some great support. So I really wanted to dive into that. And I'm so glad you can be here for this because I couldn't think of anyone else besides you to talk about it with.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a very interesting, it's kind of something I've gotten used to doing stuff like this or even talking about it on the cast. We would get met with like one feedback being like, this is the worst, you guys should stop. And then another one immediately being like, thank you for talking about this. You know, this is amazing. Keep doing what you're doing. And it seems to bounce back and forth, but it is much outweighed by the positive side. Yeah. To the point where it's like 1% maybe is the negative. But it is crazy how loud that can be.
For sure. And that's kind of why, you know, on some level, there might be a sense of like, why even talk about the negative then? And I think it's good to talk about it because I think it's important to kind of reinforce why talking about, you know, like I think we talked about on our Thursday cast that like you and other women and other people, like, you know, people who are not straight cis men talking about women, but like people of all genders talking about masculine bodies or any of this, like there's something transgressive about it because it's the voices that shouldn't be heard. And even in our community, it's only a small part of people who are pushing back. The fact that they are, you know, I think it's significant and it underlines why these conversations are so important. But it's also just so good, I think, seeing how much the positive has come out in response to that, because it really shows how much, you know, you're having an effect and you're not just, you know, making people be like, oh, yeah, that guy's so hot, which they are. And it's great to say that. But it's empowering to people and it's freeing people. And that's, I think, one of the best things the podcast can do.
It's just been absolutely amazing to have people share with us the different ways that something that some people can think is so unimportant to the conversation to other people is like empowering. It's making them feel better in their own mental health. It's moving forward with the fact that women, you know, we can also be super confident in our sexuality while not taking away from men.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's such a key thing. And I think this is a very different conversation. So I'm not meaning to equate the two. I'm just going to draw an analogy. Right now in our society, we're also seeing a lot of discussion about critical race theory and the need to teach critical race theory. And a whole bunch of white people, you know, from conservative backgrounds getting very fussed about this. And it's, I think, it's an example of where, you know, the group in power has gotten very comfortable and doesn't want people talking about things that make them uncomfortable or that like shake the tree at all, that that might question, you know, the established order of like where white people fit and where everyone else fits. And I think there's something similar happening here where, you know, for a lot of more conservative folks or, you know, whatever it is, often straight cis men, but not always. We've gotten some of the feedback I know from women as well, but mostly from straight cis men. You know, there's that sense of like, I am very comfortable in a world where I'm allowed to talk about Scarlett Johansson's ass. And I can imagine that women are perfect and demure and, you know, never have those kind of thoughts. And when you and everyone else and myself, you know, talk about it openly, it makes them uncomfortable in that same kind of a way. And I think that pushback is exactly what we're seeing.
Yeah. And it's about time to not stand down. Like we're here, we're making our stand, we're doing what we're going to do, and we're not going to stop. Like, you can keep sending the stuff in, but the fact of the matter is, you know, your voice right now in this world is extremely small. And I don't mean to sound pretentious, but you need to, like, all these people writing in immediate feedback after some of the things that we've said, like, I'm done with your cast, you guys, you know, cross the line for saying, you know, oh, sorry that, you know, I had 5 minutes of the episode where I gushed about the glory that is Tom Hiddleston or Elizabeth Olsen. Like, it's really not taking that much out of your day to move past it. But if, you know, it's personal issues that you can just see unfolding like an onion in these emails from people. Yeah. I'm like, I can't be your therapist. I'm sorry.
I mean, I just listened to your coverage of Loki season three. Loki episode three, mm-hmm. where you made a couple of great comments about thirst. I think there was something about wringing out your jeans. That's a hilarious line that should be repeated and quoted.
While I was saying that, I knew it. I knew it coming out of my mouth. I didn't care. And I was like, just say it.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, you also said probably for every one comment like that, at least 10 other comments about things that were, you know, about just like the acting, about the story, about everything else. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've noted in especially the comments we've gotten in the last few days and the posts and emails is the number of people saying like, oh, we don't like that. That's all that Ash ever talks about. You know, there's this myopic view of, you know, and the same kind of way we got people saying like, oh my gosh, why is, you know, when you all were doing Falcon the Winter Soldier, people were saying, why are you only talking about race? Like, if there's a conversation people don't want to hear, they will just go nuts.
Yeah.
If there's a conversation people don't want to hear, they will just start thinking like, oh, that's all you're ever talking about, when that's not the case in the slightest.
As a creator, hearing something like that's all you're hearing from me out of a 2-hour, usually sometimes episode, like it really makes me think. I'm like, well, when you listen to me talk, that's all you hear. Out of everything I say, the only thing you're tuning into is when I talk about sexuality. And I mean, I don't even know what to say to that. Like, that's what you're hearing from me. And that's it. And that's crazy to think about.
Yeah. No, I think that's such a good way of putting it. And I want to kind of read some of the positive comments we've gotten and talk about it, because I think this is one of the most important things for people to understand is the voices, you know, yourself, what I'm talking about with queer representation, things like that, it's not alone, and people are responding. Mm-hmm. Like, when I read at least one person saying, like, oh my gosh, you know, there's so many, you know, I'm sure lots of other people agree with me that, you know, we hate that your podcast is doing this. My first thought was just scoreboard.
Yeah.
Because MCU Cast is right now one of the absolute top-ranked podcasts in terms of all media coverage.
So crazy. So,
and let's just get into some of the positive stuff, because I think it really speaks to why this is so important.
Yeah.
One listener named Mandy wrote in, I'm not even going to lie. Actually, this was about our thirst conversation, so patting myself on the back here a little bit for this one, too, but I think it's great. Mandy wrote in, I'm not even going to lie. Boss Kid and I, who I think is her son, were listening to Ashley and Matt Fox talk about the ethics of thirst on the way to Atlanta a few weeks ago, and we had an amazing convo about all of it. Even at 10, he was more accepting of the fact that girls are allowed to find cute than some grown men are. I'm assuming you feel the same way, but definitely talk about it from your perspective. That did my heart so good, because I think that's one of the first things that people often go to is, oh, sexuality is not, you know, age appropriate. As though, you know, there are beauty pageants for 8-year-olds that are all about, like, sex appeal in this really awful kind of way, you know. Mm-hmm. 10-year-old actresses get asked if they have a boyfriend. Like, there is so much happening that sexualizes kids out there, but only in, you know, the straight male aggressor kind of nonsense ways. I love that we're seeing that, like, yeah, these are conversations kids can have and honestly should be having.
Mm-hmm. Being able to hear the fact that we might be able to help be a bridge for parents to have these conversations comfortably with their kids is really cool to me, because, like, I never had that kind of conversation with my mom. We didn't have that kind of, like, relationship, but, like, the way things are with parents and their kids today, kids are a lot more open and understanding to what's happening, because they're seeing it more in their content, and it's normalizing it, and it's normalizing talking to your kids about it. And I think that is so important.
Yeah. I was very lucky, and then I had a very liberal set of parents, my mother especially, who raised me with a very, very open-minded view about sexuality, and were, you know, very comfortable talking to me about bodies and what bodies did. And you know, because all of my other friends were told, like, sex is awful, sex is bad, never have it, the first thing they wanted to do was have sex the moment they could.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't think is necessarily bad, per se, but a lot of them were getting into, like, not the best situations. I feel like because I was raised in a way that gave me such a positive view of sexuality, I made some pretty dumb decisions as a teenager. We all do. But, like, I think I had such a healthier approach to it. I know I've heard from so many kids, especially younger kids, as you're saying now, like, I mean, like, you know, millennials, Gen Z, when you grow up with parents who aren't afraid to talk about these things, who are understanding that, yeah, this is bodies, it's natural, it's okay, that's just fine.
We
can really help the kids.
We got an email that I don't want to get too much into, but we kind of have to, of a you know, listener writing in about how upset this last episode of Loki made his 13-year-old daughter.
Oh, right.
Because
there's one sentence of Loki acknowledging that he's bisexual.
Right. And this is someone who a week before sent in a semi-problematic email, but it was praising the fact that me and you, while he used a term for you, you know, like, in a not way, you know, he was like, I'm love that you and this gay guy are talking about this. The next week, send such a hateful, derogatory email about how he hates the writers, and he complained about this with fatwas, which he did horribly. And, you know, it's just like, no, if you're
Falcon Winter Soldier.
Yeah, sorry, fatwas. If your daughter thinks this way at 13, it's because you did this to her. You put this in her head. Disney's not doing anything. Honestly, I mean, Disney is doing something, not enough as far as I see it, but they are doing something to start easing the people into it. And look at the pushback. And it's just like, hey, all that aside, go to Norse mythology and look up Loki and then come back to me. Yeah. You know,
we haven't even gotten into the sexuality of horses yet. So we're still on the tame side of what Loki can be.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, how dare you write in something like that? Like, did you expect us to agree with you? You know, I don't know. That stuff boggles my mind. And we sent him a very stern email back. But, you know, we are never going to say don't talk to us about these things, but we're not always going to agree. And it's time to start moving forward. And emails and thoughts like that are just keeping us in the past.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think that's part of why, like, we're kind of tying in together the responses that happen to the thirst and the responses that are happening to the queer representation stuff. Because I definitely got some pushback like that from when we did a whole episode on queer representation. Paul and I just recorded an episode on the ethics of the first half of Loki that I think will come out a day before this one, but it just kind of depends how much editing I get done tonight. But it might come out afterwards. But like one of the topics we talked about a lot was Loki's sexuality, and I'm sure we're going to get some angry email from that. And I think that email that you talked about, he was so angry that Disney is just... All they're doing is putting these, like, showing the actual world. Gay people exist. Transgender people exist. And the idea that there's any kind of agenda, to me, like, telling stories about people in the world that includes all people is much more of a value-neutral thing than intentionally telling stories about the world, but only telling stories about the people you think are okay. And and once you get into this idea of including Black people in your stories as an agenda, including queer people in your stories as an agenda, including women who aren't doing, like, traditional feminine things as an agenda, like, you're just angry at the world. You're angry that the movies and the TV shows that we enjoy are reflecting the world and the way the world's changing in positive ways.
Yeah, it's so unfortunate, but too bad, you know.
I wanted to kind of share some of the other comments we got on the thirst stuff, and then we can get back to the email you talked about. First of all, some of the people who talked about how, like, they felt similar to you in the thirst stuff and felt really empowered by it. Liz wrote in, "Some people still aren't ready to accept women vocalizing how they really feel. Boys will be boys, yet women get slut-shamed for having the same thoughts. We love you, Ashley Coffin."
Aw, thanks, Liz.
And Katie wrote in, kind of a similar vein, "You know what? You fantastic humans give me life. This group," and she's talking about both kind of like a small friendly chat that people have discussing thirst, and the larger kind of MCU thirst discussions, continuing, allows me to embrace part of my personality that isn't mom, and I would actually be a lot worse off for it. So if other people want to hate on the thirsting, they can do that. But that doesn't mean some of us aren't actually benefiting from it. My mental health is just as important as other people's preferences.
Ugh, I love that last sentence.
I think that's so true. And I think it really speaks to, you know, living in a world where you're taught that, like, you know, one particular form of showing attraction and showing desire from one particular group towards another particular group is the only way. That's traumatic. That's that it does damage to people. And showing the other side you know, I think one thing we've seen a lot of other comments is people sort of writing in and saying things like, I thought I was the only one. It I think people can be so, I mean, I know just with queerness, we talked about this on the queer representation episode. When you think you're the only one having these strange feelings about people of your same gender, that's really hard. When you're the only person who thinks, like, you know, whatever gender it is, opposite or whatever, that you're thirsting in a way that your gender is not supposed to, that's really damaging. And I think, I love what they're saying, that what you're doing, Ashley, and others on the chat as well, it's helping people know they're not alone and helping normalize it in such a needed way.
Yeah. And it's like, I'll take that. Let me do it. I'm going to do it for everybody. Let's do this. I got the power. I got the strength. I will persevere. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And it's good because, like, when it does start to get to me, I have an entire army of people there. Like today, just for example, on our Facebook, you know, chat, we posted this. And I love that, you know, Jeff and Matt aren't afraid to stand up for me in a way like that and put it out there. And we immediately got an email from probably that guy with like four paragraphs saying why he wasn't going to, because he was like, dear Jeff, four paragraphs of why I'm not going to listen anymore because of your post. And his post said nothing. It wasn't like, fuck that guy. What a piece of shit. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, look at this loser. It was just, I can't believe that men still do this to Ashley when I, or, you know, when we say the same things on the same show. That's it. Right. And yeah, it's just like, really? You guys need to calm down.
Yeah. Another listener named Natalie wrote in a great comment about that, saying, here she's talking about Matt and Jeff. I have to credit the podcast guys for never even showing discomfort with this, meaning the thirst. Seriously. On more than one occasion, I thought, these guys are such healthy masculinity. Mostly because it's laughable to deny that any specimen from MCU screens aren't just prime examples of human bodies.
I love that.
Go ahead, talk about what.
No, I just, I love that. I love that it's not just, you know, I'm getting a lot of support, but acknowledging the support that they're giving me to have this platform, because at any point they could be like, oh, you know, we don't want anyone to feel like this. You know, we want to make sure we're G-friendly, you know, kids and stuff. But it's like, we are covering PG-13 movies. And then the fact that they've just, they've never stopped me. They never held me back. They've never, you know, I don't know. I don't even know how to like say it because it's making me a little emotional. But you know what I mean? Like, they're just fully supportive of it and embracing it. And the amount of men who are doing it as well, it's just like really refreshing to see.
Yeah. No, I think that's so true. We got a couple of other comments from men that I think kind of fit in the same vein. Charles wrote in, I swear some mouth breathers are uncomfortable with women doing anything. Grow TF up and realize that people find people attractive and they discuss it. If a guy talks about how attractive a female character is, the chauvinistic listeners are all good, but a woman discusses a male or a female she finds attractive and all of a sudden you are uncomfortable. Pathetic. There shouldn't be sex in my comics unless it is geared towards my views. In other words, continuing like that that mindset. Shaking my damn head. Thirst Army has your back and we support your thirsty ass.
I love it.
Yeah. And then Riley wrote in, pretty sad that it's just part of our society for guys to talk about women in a possessive way, but get insecure when women show attraction to other humans. And for me as someone who, I'm non-binary, but I'm masculine leaning, and I certainly lived most of my life as masculine, comments like this are so helpful to me. And I think, I hope are so helpful to other men. And I think it is so good to hear because, I mean, honestly, the way this stops is when, you know, the guys say something in the locker room and other guys are like, dude, that's not cool. You know, it's like men who are willing. And I think in the same way, like, your voice is so needed and you have clapped back at some of these people so well. But when Matt and Jeff also do it, like, it's also such a, and it's one of those kind of like annoying things where like, it shouldn't be that they need a male listener to pay attention to. But the fact that like it shouldn't also just only be on women or queer folk to be the ones bringing this up. And so I'm so thrilled that we're getting people from all different kind of orientations and genders chiming in with real support on this.
Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. And that's why it's so awesome to keep coming on here and talking to you about it, because sure, we have these negative feedbacks, but what we're really here to talk about is the positivity that this is growing and getting attention for is amazing. And I'm like, you know, I'm glad that you have this platform to talk about these things.
I feel a little bad because now I'm going to segue into a negative thing we got. You know, I think you're right. Like, the point of this is to talk about the positivity. And I think
we did that. Moving on. Let's go.
so So the email that really kind of started all this, and there wasn't just one. I know you've gotten some like this. I know I've gotten a couple. And when I talk to other creators, especially women or queer folk, but especially women, who have talked about like openly about their thirst, a number of them said they get comments like this. I think one of the reasons why, you know, a lot of people are often concerned about showing their thirst is that there's this assumption that, you know, oh my God, if a woman expresses thirst, that must mean she is promiscuous. That must mean that she's open. That must mean that, right. Like, you know, she has no sexual morals whatsoever.
Like we're all the Samanthas.
Yeah, exactly. And I assume that's a Sex and the City reference. I never saw it, but sure.
Really?
And the thing, like,
you need to watch that shit.
It was set in New York City, and it did a really bad job of representing New York City in some ways, so I have issues there, but I'll watch it at some point. But the thing is, and so there's people who will write in and be like, oh my God, you're so terrible and awful, that's bad. There's also a kind of email that I know you've gotten at least once, I've gotten a couple of, and some of the other creators I talked to have gotten a couple of, that isn't always bad. And I think some individual people might be fine receiving these. But overall, I think there's a problematic idea where someone says, oh, that person's talking about thirst? That must mean they're okay with me flirting with them. That must mean they're okay with me hitting on them. And there, mm-hmm. I know that, like, you got an email where someone was being pretty explicit about, you know, not just being like, oh, I think Ashley's attractive, but also like hearing Ashley talk about this, or hearing, as you said, that gay guy talk about these things turned me on.
Yeah.
I know, especially talking to some of the other women creators about this, to me, this is like, support people is great. You know, if it isn't a welcome thing, I think you have made it clear that it's welcome. Some others very much have not. You know, commenting on someone's attractiveness as part of like their enjoying their content, if they've made it clear it's welcome, is a legitimate thing, although certainly never assume that.
Right.
But when it crosses the line into like random people telling us that we turned them on by talking about sexuality, when the whole point is supposed to be that we should be able to just be open about our sexuality. It's kind of the same thing as like someone walking down the street in like short shorts and a tank top. Like, they are not sexualizing themselves for other people. And if someone looks at them and gets turned on, like, that's not their responsibility. And telling a total stranger that you turned them on is incredibly inappropriate.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was kind of the point I wanted to make. And I know you and I've talked about it some. About those kind of emails where it's like, okay, people are talking about thirst. That's great. Show appreciation for it. But when it crosses into like, you're turning me on by doing this, or even some more kind of extreme comments that I know some people have gotten about the things people are doing while listening because they're turned on.
Mm.
To me, that is just so incredibly inappropriate. And I think that was just one more important part to talk about with the feedback here.
Yeah. I also think, you know, these situations, it's good to read the room. I've right. said a lot, like, I enjoy flattery, such a Scorpio. And I enjoy, you know, you know, I don't mind, like, you know, I could be having a really bad day. And then someone would send in a comment like, Ashley, I loved, you know, loved listening to you, what you said today, your thirst queen, blah, 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 blah. You know, say I'm beautiful or this and that. That'll make me feel really good.
Yeah.
This one I sent to you, and I had sent it to the guys. It was like, I read it. I laughed. I knew there was jokes in there. But there was something that was just a little about it that I was like, there's something like weird with this. And I sent it right. to Matthew, and I definitely sent it with like a kind of meme, like, ugh. But I couldn't figure it out because I'm very numb to that kind of talk, mm-hmm. just because that's like the world I've grown up in.
Yeah.
I'm a raunch mouth. You know, I hang out with raunchy mouth people and we talk to each other the way my circle of friends,
right.
you know, so when people listen to the cast, you know, I totally understand, like, you're listening to us two, maybe three times a week. We're in your lives. It does feel like we're your friends. And I love that. And I love that so much. But, like, to litter in there that, like, I gave you a boner, like, that's not cool. Don't do yeah. that. You know, even don't insinuate, like, how turned on you are by something. There are completely acceptable ways to praise somebody without, even if it is turning you on, you don't have to tell me that.
Yeah,
it's flattering, but that little part you could, you know, keep to yourself, because I could understand how other women in this position or who don't feel as threatened to talk about it on the page might have somebody say something like that back to them, and then they may never talk about it again.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's exactly the point. You know, that's such a way of shutting people down. And I think that's a very legitimate fear that people have of, you know, that, like I said, to me, it feels not the same thing by any means, but you know, analogous to like someone who's nervous about going out, you know, in a bikini top or something like that, or, you know, in anything else that other people might sexualize in ways they're not comfortable with. And I think it, you know, it can make people feel like they shouldn't do that, which is just absolutely not okay. Right. So, and, you know, like there was one email that I got from someone who, and this is a person I've talked to and we've kind of like worked through this. So I'm not like airing any dirty laundry here. and they actually expressly gave me permission to talk about this. But where like their initial comment was like how glad they were that, you know, I was talking about this. And they thought like, you know, that it was really hot to hear a guy talk about it and that like they really were getting into it, you know, as a guy who, and on some level, like they were talking to me about as a person who doesn't normally feel those feelings towards masculine people. And I wanted, like, I supported that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked through it, but I also had to be like, okay, that's awesome. But also the fact that you had a response to what I was saying, that doesn't mean that I'm flirting with you. That doesn't mean that I'm reaching out to you. And that doesn't mean that that's an invitation for you to reach back like that. And so, yeah, I just think that was why I wanted to talk about these comments, because I think it's, you know, it's just so important for people to know, like you said, read the room. You've given specific, you know, welcome for people to make certain kind of comments that mm-hmm. a lot of other creators might not. But even there's still lines.
Yeah, exactly. And it is good, like, I have, you know, people like you who can point that out to me, like, honey, no, you know, that is not exactly the kind of compliment you want. And then me to actually sit with that for a second and be like, oh, my God, you're right.
Yeah.
I don't want to be anybody's boner.
Yeah. And I'm really glad that the way that the two of us talked about that, because, you know, for me, I don't ever want to tell you, like, if you want to be someone's boner, that's cool. Go for it. Like,
yeah.
But I just wanted to kind of give an idea of, like, because as you said, I think a lot of this is very generational. And I've learned a lot from younger generations who are growing up with ideas of, like, this isn't okay to be numb to.
Wait a minute. I'm going to take that back. I do want to be your boner. Just don't tell me about it. Secret boner. Secret boner. I'm not going to lie to you or the people.
Like you said, Scorpio, you know?
Yeah. Do not sit me across from a mirror.
Yeah. Totally fair. And again, read the room. Know the particular which, by the way, that does not mean, please, if you want to talk about how Ashley has a sexy voice in comments to this, I think you're saying you're very welcome to that. Don't talk about how it turned you on. That's the lie.
Exactly. Exactly.
And someone else, like, you know, don't assume that because Ashley's okay with it, someone else is okay with it.
Exactly.
But yeah, I just thought the way you and I discussed that was so good, because it was, to me, it's also such a good illustration of there are exceptions to these things. And there are people who might enjoy things that other people would not. And I think it would be easier for someone to say, oh, this one creator is okay with it, so it's okay with everyone else. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of more the point here, is just like understanding that there's certain kind of behavior that's not appropriate unless you've been told it's appropriate.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So I think the last thing we wanted to get into is just kind of the more homophobic side of some of the comments we've gotten. And I think we've already talked about that a little bit, but I want to just kind of just get into that a little further, especially hear from you as someone who's not, you know, part of the LGBT world in the same way necessarily. Mm-hmm. Like, it was something I admit I was a little nervous about when that scene happened in Loki. And what's been kind of your take on the very positive feedback we've gotten, but also some of the negative? You know, like you said, the people who are saying, you know, oh, I don't want that in my shows. This is an agenda. It's corrupting my kids and nonsense like that.
The second he said it, I turned to Ken and I went, oh, shit, our emails are going to be a mess. Mm-hmm. I just knew. I was like, oh, man, I didn't. You know, you hope that people are going to be like, yeah. But no, they were not. And it's like it sucks that one little part of an amazing show will be what everybody focuses on. I love that Falcon and the Winter Soldier was out, like, with what they were talking about from episode one. Mm-hmm. However, like, secretly, they tried to do it, but it was like, let's see who's paying attention.
Yeah.
This had one little line, which makes complete sense. Okay, I'm going to dance around this, and I don't want to take away from the fact that he came out as a bi character to say he's also a 1,000-year-old like Norse god, and the fact that who can shift and change into people. So it's very immature, and I don't know the word, very, I guess, immature to think that person would be straight.
To me, like, someone like Loki, the god of mischief, the god who looks at so, like, Loki looks at concepts of good and evil and right and wrong as foolish mortal ideas. he would think gender is ridiculous, you know?
Like, yeah.
The idea that he would, like, only be attracted to people with this kind of presentation versus that kind of a presentation, or, like, who are this gender or that gender, like, of course Loki's not. And I agree with you. Like, there's an extent to which when Loki said that, it wasn't this huge revelation. It was just like, oh, okay, awesome.
Yeah.
The subtext we've always known about is now front and center. And you're right. I had a bracing of, like, we're going to get all the annoying, terrible responses. But also, I was like, okay, cool. Let's bring out the trash. Let's see who gets mad at this. Especially because even there, we've had so much positive response to people just being like, and I've seen this also on other platforms, people just being like, I felt seen. Like, finally, there's a character like me in the MCU.
Exactly. And it's like, it's one line. You can acknowledge it. But if you're letting it ruin your show and Marvel for you, I'm so sorry, but it's time to go. Like, this isn't for you anymore. Just start, you know, watch the first 10 years and live there, because we're going to, you know, you're going to fall behind and you're going to be angry every week for nothing.
Yeah.
For nothing. For hate, you know, get over it. It's time to move forward. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to get mad.
Well, I think those are the main things I wanted to cover. Is there any other kind of last comments you want to throw in?
No, I guess I think also what's interesting, two little things, the Loki thing. They showed us his, like, locked up picture from whatever, the first episode, and everybody saw that his sex gender said fluid.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand the surprise of that line when they told us before the damn show started.
I mean, gender identity and sexuality are two different things, but I agree with you. It's like, yeah, once they said that they're going to look into that world, then yeah, other comments in that world, certainly, like, of course that's going to happen.
Yeah. And then just that one little fun thing we were talking today about the unsung thirst hero of the MCU. We're going to go back to Captain America, Winter Soldier. There's the scene when they're in the Apple store and there is a male character who to me looks cis there solely for the fact to let us know that Chris Evans is a specimen, that he's hot. Yeah. So it's always been there, people. You're just not looking for it.
And that's interesting because I want to go back and rewatch that scene because I remember that scene very differently, where I remember that that character was supposed to be a ridiculous person we were laughing at, and that his attraction to Chris was supposed to be kind of a, like, look at one more way, he's, like, not a real man. But I want to go back and rewatch it, because if it is that kind of, if it is actually a more positive thing, or I was just kind of projecting some fears about negative stuff on it, then yeah, I think that'd be fantastic that they're planting that stuff even that far back.
Mm-hmm. And it was this guy who was just like, they didn't need his help at all. And he's like, oh, well, we have a sale. Well, man, I just want to let you know, like, specimen. Yeah. Good job. And we're like, slow clap for the guy with the long hair.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, Ash, thank you so much. We just kind of decided an hour ago to hop on. I am glad we did manage to keep this well under 45 minutes. I guess we'll come in about 32, 33 minutes. So go us. And to fans, you know, definitely keep checking out the MCU cast. Check out all the Stranded Panda casts. But also, let us know what you think. You know, comment on the Stranded Panda chat group and Facebook is one of the best ways to have these discussions. That's where it's happening in public. But if you want to write to me or write to us, you can write to me at theethicalpanda@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter at theethicalpanda. And if you just go to the website, theethicalpanda.com, there you'll find contact information as well as information about all the other podcasts and stuff that I do. And Ashley, what about you? I know you actually have a whole new Twitch show coming out that's going to be pretty damn thirsty, both literally and metaphorically. So
yeah.
Where can people check out your stuff?
We're going to be going live on Twitch once or twice a month, starting this Thursday, to do Legends and Limitations with Jeff Randall and Julie Youngblood Randall. And it's just going to be like, you know, we're going to pick a story, legend, lore, ghost story, it doesn't matter, and tell the story kind of drunkenly, and then at the end, see if we've all learned something. We'll have signature drinks and cocktails. It's just going to be a fun little hangout.
Well, that is awesome. I'm so excited to hear what you folks are talking about. I'm so excited just to that all these conversations are continuing. So, Ashley, thank you so much for jumping on. Fans, thank you all so much for being a part of this, and have a great day.
Keep thirsting.